Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with Martin Hoskins, who is the CEO of Redbubble. Martin, really good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Tom.
Martin, Redbubble's actually caused a little bit of a sensation in the markets for some time, but for people who are unfamiliar with your business, what exactly is it that you do?
So Redbubble's been around for quite a while. Since 2007, we launched the platform. What it does, it provides a art and design marketplace for artists and designers all over the world. So the way in which it works is that an artist or designer will upload an image. When a customer comes along and wants that to purchase it, they can purchase it on one of 117 different product types we have right now. Everything from wall art to t-shirts to jigsaw puzzles to aprons. And then it is created for that customer after they order it. So everything's done what's called by print-on-demand technology, and it's delivered to those customers. We're quite a large company right now, in the sense that we've did just on $420 million in revenue last year. That sort of sense, and also probably worthwhile noting that we're also very global. So more than 95% of sales happen outside of Australia. So it's a and most of those are into United States, about 65% of sales, then Europe, and then followed by Australia and New Zealand. So that's our global presence.
Yeah, so in your latest results, what was clear was that the revenue growth was driven by the UK and England. So they're quite large marketplaces. How have you been able to penetrate the consciousness amongst art buying consumers that that you're the place to come to when it comes to the transacting with art?
Yeah, it's probably worth sort of clarifying. I call it an art and design marketplace. From a consumer's perspective, it's probably a little bit less that than it is actually just things which they're personally interested in. So I'm wearing a t-shirt, you can't notice, see the top of it. That's on the Redbubble marketplace, and that's a t-shirt which shows Errol Flynn as a pug, Pug Astaire. And so a lot of the stuff which we sell is quite amusing content. Some of it may be, you know, speaking directly to a customer which they may be interested in. And so a lot of our global penetration has become about, because we've been there for a while and we've got such a diversity of content. So last year, just over 4 million different images sold. And that was, everybody was looking for something quite specific to their interests and concerns. So I have a particular interest in pugs, actually. And so I tend to often have a look at what's going on there, because that's funny. But it may be a social movement which you're interested in. It may be a meme which you've come up on the internet. It may be any of those thousands of different things which you're interested in. So it's really the specificity of the content for the customers which creates the demand. And a lot of that demand has come through because of our very strong presence in search and Google search. So a lot of that will be initially from that format. We don't spend a lot on brand advertising. We've had very little on brand advertising. We do spend quite a bit through Facebook and Google and the other very specific marketing channels, which allow us to target customers directly.
And so when it comes to your setup, one thing that's pretty clear is that this infrastructure has got the ability to evolve in a number of different directions. Is that something that's on the horizon for Redbubble?
Yeah, very much so. So it's an extremely capital light model because everything's created for the consumer at the point at which they order it. We don't have to hold any inventory. We actually have what's called negative working capital, which is a good sort of capital. We collect all the money up front, and then we provide it to the artists and also to the fulfillers. So we actually don't own the fulfillment network. We're actually, if you will, that partners of us, or they work in cooperation with us, and they will drop ship. So currently it's from 41 locations all around the world. And one of the things which we've built up over those years is that incredibly strong global network of fulfillers, and we will continue to do that. So adding new products has been an important part of what we do. We added 17 products last year. One of the better sellers was the face masks. They were able to launch those in April of this year. But were a range of other products. So we will continue to add products into the network. We're not going to geographically expand much. We think that within our target customers, there's about 1 billion customers there. We think that's enough. But we will be increasingly, we will add new products over time. And we'll also we're only relatively smallly penetrated within the total customer segment. So we have about 6.8 million customers, which sounds like a lot. It is quite a lot, obviously. But because we've got this global footprint, we have the capacity for that to be 10 times larger than that would not be inconceivable. So we're actually relatively smallly penetrated within our customer segment. And a lot of that expansion with the customers will be through leveraging better in some of the newer distribution channels. For example, TikTok's been really good for us. A lot of our customers are on TikTok, and we've had over 100 million views on TikTok of content related to Redbubble. And so those sorts of things, which are quite specific and quite entertaining, often work. So we've been used more recently, and those channels have worked for us quite well. It is noticeable as well that we're actually, every customer, we're profitable on first purchase. So every advertising dollar which we put into the channels, we get more than a dollar back in profit from those channels. And so that's been a good focus for us. The reason why we can do that is because we're participating in very big, diverse categories, but we're not trying to sell the same thing as everybody else.
Now, you've been, as you pointed out, well established for some time. So you were well positioned to be able to capitalize on the pandemic. What was your experience during the last 6 months, for example?
Well, I guess the first part of the experience is just as an individual and also as an employer, it's been very challenging. We're based here in Melbourne. We've got an offices in San Francisco, in New York, and in Berlin. And all of those offices have been challenged. And then also as a member of the community, clearly it's been very challenging for us just to be in the community and just to, you know, for all of us who've been living through COVID, 2020 is going to be the memorable year we want to forget, I think. As a business, we have initially in March, we took it had a significant impact. We started to bounce back quite strongly, though, as we got into April. And we were in the position of being able to continue to serve our customers, and we're very pleased to be able to do that. And we're well positioned to have a strong second half of the year, or last quarter, really, because of the diversity of our global network meant that we were continuing to be able to ship and deliver throughout that period. And so we were pleased to be able to play a positive role during the crisis.
In terms of the enduring impact of consumer behaviour and the way they interact with the Redbubble platform, what do you see that looking like as far as the next 18 months are concerned?
Initially, I thought that the COVID crisis would be quite compact. I hoped it would be quite compact as well. It looks like it's drawn out. And we are also seeing that customers who have started purchasing online are tending to come back. That is our expectation as we come through the Christmas period. We're seeing that in our own data, and we're seeing that from data from other sources as well. So the research in general suggests that we're going to come off some sort of peak, and we'll end up at a higher plateau as a consequence of where we come through. So we think we're well positioned to come through at the other side of COVID crisis with many more customers than we had coming in, and many more of them being loyal. That's a clear part of our ongoing strategic development, is to ensure the customers come back. Once they've been exposed to the Redbubble shopping experience, a great many of them do, of course, come back.
So your most recent results were significant from the profitability perspective. Just give us a sense of where that result sat in the arc of the journey, as it were, in recent years.
Yeah, sure. So Redbubble went public in 2016. We had been a profitable company in years prior to that. We decided when we went public, we were raising some money, and we were spending that money on operating expenditure, which was really to consolidate our position as the marketplace leader. And so that was the money which we did spend. As we came through it came through last year. We were profitable last year from an operating EBITDA perspective, and also from an EBITDA perspective. And just a little bit once after EBIT, it was still a small loss-making year for us. But that had been, as a consequence of spending money coming through from the money which we'd raised at the IPO. So that had been anticipated, if you will. Going forward, my commitment to the shareholders and also to to company is to pursue a strategy of profitable growth. So we're a much larger company than we were at the time of the IPO. We do have the resources to fulfill that objective of profitable growth. And we're in the fortunate position that we've got the strategic orientation to achieve that as well. The assets are there, the focus is there. So a strategic growth, that's quite a considerable, at some scale now, of course, with over $400 million in revenue.
So Martin, you mentioned the investment that you've made in the platform. Is there going to be more of a need to develop that, or have you got it to where you basically want it?
Tom, at the moment, we're really focusing in on the profitable growth, but we are going to have to continue to invest in research and development and innovation. We are a global company with global aspirations in a new category. And so that does mean that research and innovation is going to be an important part of what we do. But my commitment to the investors is that we will do so as profitably, where at sufficient scale, where we can make that investment out of our own resources and so achieve an objective of profitable growth.
Martin, it's been a great story, the Redbubble one. We look forward to following it further in the future and having more conversations like this. So thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.